Welcome back to Parent Nation with Tara Kennedy Klein, the Internet's top talk radio show featuring real talk for real parents.
Clean my house? It's time to clean their house. You know what it means if my house is clean? I have big closets and a broken computer.
Shaken and stirred up with a twist from America's family advocate, Tara Kennedy Klein. And now, back to the show.
Hey, Parent Nation, welcome back to the show. I just wanted to, I know that we got cut off short of time there with our last segment, but that was just so much fun talking with Dennis and Arlen. The name of their book is Parenting for the Launch and What I Wish I Knew at 18, and their business, their company is called Life Smart Publishing. So definitely check them out on the interwebs and on Facebook, because their information is really awesome. And thank you so much to both of them for everything that they shared with us. My next guest is Jennifer Fink, and she's the creator of buildingboys.net. And if you follow me on Facebook or on Huffington Post or Your Tango or any of those other places that I'm active, you'll know that raising boys is a real passion of mine. I know that raising children is a passion of all of ours, but I think that there are a lot of things that we kind of shove under the carpet when it comes to boys that we really need to be paying as much attention to as girl power. So I think we're getting really lopsided in the conversation. So I'm so excited to have Jennifer here because she's actually one of the huge supporters in the effort to establish a White House Council on Men and Boys. And she's a mom of four boys, single mom of four boys. And she's appeared just everywhere, Washington Post, Parents, Scholastic. So she's very prominent in this field, and I'm thrilled to have her with us. Hey, Jennifer, how are you?
Hi, I'm good. How about you?
I am great.
Hi, Jennifer. It's Kelly.
Hello.
It is. It's really exciting to have you here.
Thank you. It's wonderful to be here.
I really think that we are going through a boy crisis right now, and we're doing it to ourselves.
You know, what's so interesting to me is that when you talk to people who love boys, whether you're talking to parents of boys, grandparents, those people get it and they see it intuitively. They see it happening to all these boys that they interact with. I think the difficulty is helping people who don't have boys or aren't actively involved in boys' life understand what's going on right now.
I actually get very rude, disrespectful, comments that brush off anything that I say when I talk about boys. It's like, boys are suffering so badly, right? That's why we have a female president. I'm like, what does that have to do with anything?
You know, one of the things that I've heard people say that means so much to me, and I always try and keep in mind, it's not a zero-sum game. If you're saying that you want boys to do well, that doesn't by definition mean that you don't also want girls to do well. If you want girls to do well, that doesn't mean you want boys to suffer. I support boys reaching their full potential, and I support girls reaching their full potential.
Thank you. Yes, absolutely. And not one at the expense of the other.
Absolutely. And I do understand that's where things get a little tricky, right? Because once we start getting into public policy and issues of resources, the fact of the matter is there's always limited resources. So I think people get a little antsy about, well, if we're going to spend money on this, does that mean we're taking away from initiatives, for instance, that have been helping girls? So I do understand that there is that underlying dynamic. But one of the things that's also very interesting to me is so many of the things that have been shown to be helpful to boys are also helpful to girls. So, for instance, more movement in the classroom, good for boys, good for girls. Mm-hmm. Protecting recess, good for boys, good for girls.
Right? A balanced diet, good for
boys, good for girls.
It's so true. You know, I think that people misunderstand, I know that people misunderstand the term misogynistic. Mm-hmm. We throw it around when without even knowing what it truly means. It's actually a disdain for women. It's actually a hatred of women. So, you know, if you're doing something that's overtly male, that doesn't make you a misogynist. It makes you masculine.
Right. So, and you're a mom of boys, so you understand that. You know, you want your boys to do well, and you want your boys to be respected as human beings. And that doesn't mean you don't want the same for women.
I think that we're trying to make ourselves too equal, and in the process, we're vilifying boys.
Right, right. It seemed that perhaps as a reaction and trying to get across the message that, hey, women can do more than what we were allowed to do, historically speaking, there was an effort to emphasize that women can do things that previously were in the male realm. At the same time, there was not that push for boys to enlarge the notion of what boys can do. And so we're still suffering from that. And we kind of glossed over the fact that boys and girls, males and females, generally speaking, are different. There are, you know, when you talk boy, girl, male, female, of course there's a wide range of normal. But there are baby boys tend to be different than baby girls. And I know we can talk about socialization, and that's certainly relevant, but there are differences.
Yeah. Like, I know girls, some girls that really, really like pink Legos.
Yeah.
And I think that we've taken it, we've taken our desire for equality into the level of shaming now. Now we've gone to the point of shaming anything that doesn't conform to what our ideals are. So we hear a lot of boys are more difficult. Boys are more easily addicted to certain things like video games and violence and those kinds of things. Where do you stand on those issues?
I think we need to be careful what we consider addiction, because, for one, we're talking about video game addiction. There is no clinical definition for that at this point. And I think a lot of what we hear in common conversation, both, you know, in our personal lives, talking to our friends and family and what we see online, is really expressions of parental and adult concern. So when we see usually a boy who is really into video games, which is something that we as adults might be uncomfortable with, we worry that he's getting addicted or that he's addicted because that's all he ever wants to do. All he wants to do is play video games. If he was reading a book, would you say the same thing? Would you say he was addicted to books?
Well, I actually did go through that with one of my sons, but, you know, but it was, you're right, because at one point my husband and I looked at each other and went, are we seriously telling him that he has to stop reading so much?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, but
and you're right. There's parental instincts come into play. You certainly know your child better than anybody else. And when your parental instincts are telling you, hey, this kid is doing whatever the activity is to the exclusion of everything else in life, it's time to speak up and say, hey, let's look for some balance here. You need to do some other things as well. But for some reason, video games, especially violent video games, are a trigger for adults. We are uncomfortable with it, and I don't think we've always explored why, and is it a rational concern?
So I think for a lot of the parents that I deal with, and for myself personally, the problem that I have with the video games is the fact that they're more attentive to the game than they are to me. When they're listening to the game and they're playing the game, they're not listening to me and they're not communicating with me.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't like that a game takes priority over me and my needs as mom.
Yeah, I hear you. And I think every parent struggles with that. Last night, we were getting ready to, needed to head out the door, and a couple of my kids and a neighbor kid were playing Minecraft together online. And the dishwasher was not getting emptied. And so, yes, I get frustrated with that, too. In that case, I don't think it's so much that the video game is a bad thing as, you know, we as parents need to work to establish some boundaries in our families. And I don't always do a great job of that. It's easier for me to say than to do. But that's when I need to think about things like, hey, get your stuff done before you go on the video game. or using the parental controls and turning off Wi-Fi access for a while.
But making sure that nothing breakable is very close to them when you do it.
Right.
Because you can always tell when dad shut off the Wi-Fi because stuff just starts thumping and, oh, you can hear the mumbling and the cursing going on without actually hearing it. It's amazing.
Yes,
and,
it gets very
and
loud.
Then within a half an hour or an hour, they're a completely different human being.
Mm-hmm.
It changes the way they react to you.
Yeah, yeah. One thing I've noticed, and I'm not sure if you've noticed this, my kids definitely spend a fair amount of time playing games or watching YouTube videos is another one that have you noticed mm-hmm. that's very popular with your boys?
Oh yeah. Oh, definitely.
Yeah. But hardly anybody watches TV anymore. And, you know, we grew up watching TV and didn't think that made us horrible human beings. So I think we have to be careful about not vilifying the tech because it can become another example of what you said before of shaming them for their interest. That doesn't mean that they should be able to play video games without having any household responsibilities or without being required to listen to mom and dad. But I think it means that we need to think about, you know, why do they enjoy this? What are they getting out of it?
Yeah. For me, I know that they're getting the instant gratification. They're getting instant feedback. They're getting validation, you know, because for my son, he's been on Minecraft since it was in its beta phase. I mean, we paid for it in pounds. It was ridiculous.
Oh, wow.
Right? And so now he is this entity on Minecraft. People know him, and he has his own, like, videos that he makes and puts them on YouTube, like tutorials and stuff. He is perceived as this awesome person on Minecraft with all of these friends and followers, and then he goes to school – and he's that weird kid with Asperger's that has, like, three friends.
Mm-hmm. And that's where I sometimes see a big disconnect between school and boys' lives and why, frankly, a lot of boys are drawn into that online world. The things that your son is good at, he is recognized for and lauded for in that online world. And in school, it's like, yeah, that's just weird.
Mm-hmm.
And those are actual skills that he's developing. You know, if you've looked at Minecraft, there's a lot of visual, spatial things going on there. When you're making videos and sharing these video tutorials, which a lot of kids love to watch, that's communication. It's technology. So there's real, honest-to-God skill development there that doesn't quite fit into the schools.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's why he's going to a career in technology center next year. Because
oh,
we knew that that's his brilliance. That's what he's great at. That's his dream. So we're kind of following that. And it's so weird to me because we, as parents, as adults, we'll sit down and we'll watch football games and all kinds of sports games, and we'll bet on them, and we'll like get obsessed with them, and we'll paint our faces and do all these things. Our kids have that same thing, and it's gaming.
Yes. Yes. You know, you mentioned before, like, he gets that gratification and positive feedback, sense of accomplishment from video gaming. There's a researcher at the University of Pennsylvania, Allie Carr Chelman. She's also involved in the initiative to push for a White House Council on Boys and Men, but she's done some fascinating research about video gaming, and particularly video gaming in boys. One of the other things that gamers are developing in playing these games is an interesting relationship to failure, and they're developing grit, that ability to keep pushing through obstacles. So in video games, you know, you don't get it on the first try, but you die and you get to try again. You learn something. You try again. And her research is showing that that ability to view failure as, well, I learned something from this, and then I can take that knowledge and move on, is a predictor of future success versus oftentimes in school, failure is this bad and terrible thing to be avoided.
Or they just don't ever experience it.
Right.
Right. So, you know, it's actually building resilience.
Exactly. Exactly. So that's another, you know, those kinds of things that if you're busy looking at this, video games are terrible. You miss some of those nuances and some of the positive things that they may be developing right before your eyes.
So let me ask you another question, because this is something that we only have 2 minutes. I can't believe it. So here's my thing. I'm concerned with the whole thing about girls blaming boys for not being able to act badly. So, you know, I can't dress seductively to school in eighth grade because you haven't taught your boys that women aren't sex objects. How do you feel about that?
Conflicted, in all honesty, conflicted. You know, on the one hand, as a woman, I understand that. I don't necessarily feel like somebody should tell me what I should wear based on how a boy or a man may or may not react. On the other hand, I think that it would be better if we just talk about appropriate dress for the circumstances, for both boys and girls, because there's a time and a place for everything. In a school environment, a work environment, is really a time for more professional or casual is the wrong word. But you know what I mean? It's not the time to be seductive or to be revealing. And it's a messy thing. When we talk about middle school and high school, boys and girls are all still learning.
Right.
So, yes, I'm working on teaching my boys that girls are not sex objects.
And
they are at the same time boys.
Right.
And I don't mean that to excuse things, but they are boys and they will see things and they will think things just as girls do.
Right. And see, that's where I wish that we could come to, I wish as parents we could come to an even playing field on this and not real and realize that it's not a fight between boys and girls, but a fight for our children. So,
yes.
Oh my gosh, I can't believe it. We have to go, Jennifer, but I so appreciate this time that you've spent with us. And I really want everybody to check out your website, buildingboys.net. And I want to be able to support you on this Council for Men and Boys. So if there's any way we can do that, put it up on our Facebook page. And until next time, everybody, keep playing.
Barometer of, is this going to shut them up? Connect with Tara online at TaraKennedyKline.com. Until next time, remember this.
Parent Nation, why do we keep calling this the hardest job on the planet? Why don't we just appreciate the gift that we're given and try calling